At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's pre-market trade plan live session, which is our opportunity to be as prepared as we can for today's trading opportunities. Of course, today is the 28th of July, so good morning, everyone. Welcome. Now, we've got the basis of an agreement between the US and the EU, somewhere in the tune of 15% tariffs agreed across the board with some additional European spending in the US economy in the forms of energy and defense as well. So it's a pretty significant deal. It seems to be on the surface pretty similar to the deal with Japan, and we've got softening of positions when it comes to a US-China trade deal as well. So what does all this mean? It's a bit of a capitulation, really, from some of the tougher stances that have been taken around the unfairness of these U.S. tariffs. And we seem to have kind of come full circle in terms of the agreement that global trade balance is unfair. And, you know, the rest of the world need to correct that as far as the U.S. is concerned. So you wonder if it's we've just always kind of questioned the sensibility and the approach for entities like the Eurozone and China and the rest of the world. We kind of have a decent understanding in terms of what Trump is trying to achieve with bringing more capital injection into the US, bring back manufacturing, and increase revenue for the government. However, and we can see that play out in the US indices. We can see the exuberance of the economics and the way things are unfolding in the indices. What's quite interesting is under a move like that, we'd probably expect a bit of a risk on market dynamic across the board. And we don't have that. Now, we've been in this position a few times last year as well with the everything rally, where everything was rallying, everything was at all-time highs. And, you know, just as a broad-based approach, we'd struggle to buy, you know, a volatile spike to the upside at all-time highs. We'd much prefer to wait for a bit of a corrective move or a bit of a pullback. And what we keep seeing in these equity markets is just new all-time highs all the time, very, very little shallow corrections. So it's not as easy as straightforward. I mean, hindsight is a wonderful thing. So you can see since Friday, you know, that we've had a sizable move higher in the indices. But we are seeing some very interesting developments in the dollar, which is perhaps not as surprising. So let's, we've got a new week. We had a good positive week last week, of course. Although we were very, very tentative, I guess, for the majority of the week, we only got into a few small trades, which were all winning trades, and we're able to sort of maximize our returns on those opportunities. So let's see where we are. We've got a new week. We've got a quite a busy week, actually, for a variety of reasons, which I'll explain now. So we can probably expect some significant volatility this week as well. Okay, so please see a risk warning. The other thing to just bear in mind is we're entering summer markets, and what you just generally get during these periods is lower volumes. You can still get price moves, but just the number of participants are certainly reduced with a lot of people taking a bit of a holiday break. And I'm not really surprised, really, after the way the year's unfolded. So all profitable traders need to consider, of course, you know, which markets to trade, which markets should get our attention. We've got quite a strong focus on the US for obvious reasons. So then we'd have to determine where do we then enter and exit those markets? How do we manage risk? Once we're in a profitable trade, what decisions can we make to mitigate risk, to book in profit, make all these sorts of decisions along with trade psychology? So, you know, obviously there's a number of elements to being able to trade markets, and we adjust these considerations practically every day in our live trade rooms. And we are strong advocates of, you know, really no matter what's going on, to try and maintain a high degree of consistency in the way we view these markets in terms of how we identify opportunities. Market dynamics can change and shift, but we can remain somewhat resilient in what we do and consistent, accurate with the levels we use, disciplined with our capital. And of course, you know, if you do want to trade a decent move, you quite often need to be more patient now than what we've probably ever needed to be in the past. So yeah, patience is important as well. So let's start with a review of potential market moving news then. So this is Forex Factory. So good morning, everyone. Welcome. So today, Monday the 28th, there's nothing of any massive interest at all. So we're really talking about geopolitical, global, macro developments, like a trade framework you could suggest agreed between the US and the EU. And there's a bit of positivity around, certainly from the equity space. I've said we've got a big week, and we do. So we start tomorrow with JOLT job opening numbers from the US at 3 p.m. So that's the first of four job numbers. So we might do the job numbers first. On Tuesday, it's JOLT jobs. So how many jobs are available being advertised in the US? On Wednesday, we've got ADP. On Thursday, we've got... we should have unemployment claims. Yes, we do. And unemployment cost index. It's interesting to see these numbers play out. What number do we get for ADP? 82,000 jobs added. Bit of a positive turnaround, because previously we were at negative 33,000 jobs. And then JOLT jobs, where are we at? Yeah, 4.5, so 4.49. So pretty strong on the job front. Unemployment claims. And then the big one from a jobs perspective is on Friday. So it's this non-farm payroll number in here. And we're expecting 180,000 jobs, and expecting the unemployment rate, which, as you can probably see here, gapped significantly lower. So last time out, we were expecting a 4.3, and we got a 4.1. So we're expecting actually the unemployment rate to increase, and we saw it decrease 20 basis points. So these are some of the anomalies that we have to try and navigate. However, job numbers are not just all we have to deal with today, this week, should I say. So we've got advanced GDP. So a bit of a positive bounce. So the negative GDP was a little bit more trade war dynamic, pull forward dynamics playing out, which gave us a really negative number for GDP. And now we're expecting a remarkably strong bounce. Advanced GDP price index in there as well. So that's not it. There's an awful lot more. The FOMC on Wednesday night expected to hold rates of 4.5. That's certainly what our expectation would be. You got the BOJ on Thursday, expected again to hold rates. I think this is a kind of a difficult period. I'm sure the BOJ got a bit burned by the decisions it made last August. I'm not sure it'll do the same this time around. We'll hear from the BOJ, see what they have to say. So we'll do a little bit more analysis a bit closer to the time. But on Thursday, we've got core PCE in there as well. So prices expected to rise. And there is an interesting debate as to whether these tariffs will actually bring about price increases for consumers. we don't really see how it wouldn't. But I guess the broad-based excitement or exuberance is the fact that we're kind of between the 15 to 20% tariff increase level rather than the 20 to 30%. So we still have tariffs, and the problems with tariffs still exist, or the potential downside of tariffs still exist, but it's not as bad as perhaps certainly Donald Trump himself had been saying for quite some time. Okay, so, and then on Friday, non-farm payroll, ISM manufacturing numbers. So a really important day. The problem is, really until tomorrow at 3 p.m., there's not really a huge amount that these markets will be reacting to. So I just want to just share a couple of things with you. The fact that the U.S. indices are at all-time highs again, really good, strong, bullish finish really to the week. Really sort of significant day on Wednesday, a bit of indecision, and then further momentum as we closed out the trading week. So indices up, but have a look at what the dollar's doing. The dollar is really strengthening. That's on 15 minutes. Sorry, I thought I was on the daily. I thought we had a bit of a strong pivot. We actually rallied, gapped lower, and now we're beginning to pivot again in gold. So as you know, from Friday, what we were looking for is an opportunity to start selling the US dollar again at these significantly lower prices. And we'll have a look at the euro dollar. The euro dollar is actually looking quite stubborn, but a little bit more sort of downward momentum in markets like the pound and gold. Certainly we're below important support levels. So we've had a 3-day pullback really across those two markets. The suggestion that the euro dollar will start to weaken. And what's interesting is we're getting a bit of a mixed picture in terms of equities up. But what we're also seeing in terms of initial reaction as well and a bit of pricing going into it is the dollar up. So equities up, dollar up. So that's a bit of a risk on and a risk off market dynamic. So what we can do then is look at 2-year treasury yields. So the bond markets, do they give us any? Are they expanding on whether this is a good or a bad deal? It's not really doing anything of note. Same with the 10-year, the slightly longer term. You know, what is the price you pay for government debt? What does that suggest about the situation? It really doesn't seem like it's got an opinion at all, which again is quite strange because these are pretty significant monumental frameworks, you could say. Maybe the detail needs to be expanded upon across the board, and there's certainly an argument for that. But in terms of a broad framework, it's better to have a broad framework than have sort of a chaotic sort of global trade war playing out, which would be probably very negative for government bonds and push those prices up. So when Trump says to Powell, you know, why don't you cut rates? And Trump says, well, because you're messing around with tariffs. You know, maybe he's kind of listening a little bit and saying, right, well, I won't mess around with the tariffs too much. I won't cause too much trouble. Maybe these sorts of conversations are going on in the background. Maybe Trump is chilling out a little bit around the whole dynamic. And there certainly seems to be a significant amount of capitulation, depending on which leader, Ursula von der Leyen as well, over the weekend. There's a large capitulation. He knows he wants the briefing, the congratulations, you've done a great deal type of rhetoric, which pleases Trump no end, I'm sure, pleases his voting base. And on the surface, the US, you know, they've got their tariff, they've got their increased revenue, they've got their additional spending measures from the EU into the US. All in all, it's probably a decent outcome. Now, the problem with Trump is you have to deal with his sort of bombastic nature, but keep saying about the art of the deal. Well, it's been an interesting roller coaster, that's for sure. So the question is, what would be our kind of broad-based expectations around these current market conditions? And I think the US is self-explanatory, really. It's to the upside. The problem is we've got a really poor sort of setup for a buy trade at these prices. And as you know, from last week, we were very much on the dollar weakness side of the trade. Got a few good trades off, which was, closed out, pretty close to the what turned out to be the highs, really, from last week. We exited right pretty close to those. So a few really good trades last week. And we were saying, right, well, if we get a bit of a pullback, we look to buy the pullback. That trade is still on. So in terms of a potential buy trade at these lower prices, this is the sort of pullback phase. And now we can see, can we get a bit of a bounce off these lows in favor of a weaker dollar? That's where we would be positioning ourselves. But the move so far has been a bit surprising, you could say. Not quite moving in line with our expectations. What you have here with US oil, is just a pure consolidated market. So we know we've got an important trading week with some important news from tomorrow afternoon, mid-afternoon, 3 p.m. UK time. So that's when the week starts to get a bit more interesting. What we will do, and we'll do our trade plan now in just a second, is we'll still look for a bit of a pivot. So our expectation would be, again, for the dollar to begin to weaken. And let's see if we get that opportunity or not. The S&P, NASDAQ, both rallying. We would just need a bit of a pullback in those trades before we could sort of justify a bit of a buy trade. So we need to be a little bit patient with these markets. So got some really good, strong news and a bit of a mixed bag in terms of market response. So mixed risk on. Yeah, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just say we've got a risk on stroke mixed market condition. So risk on with indices, it's a bit mixed everywhere else. Government bonds, dollar, not quite doing what we'd expect. There's no reaction really out of the bond markets from what we can gather. So what does that mean for these markets? It's maybe there's a certain amount of sort of digesting of these narratives playing out. And I think what we will continue to do over the course of the next couple of months is continue to monitor the data. And if it starts to worsen, then we could probably have a certain plan for worsening conditions. And but if it starts to kind of improve again, then you're just getting further upside moves in equity markets. And it's hard to find. So risk on due to positive EU / US and so it's a risk on mixed market conditions due to positive expectations around EU, US and other ongoing trade deals, trade tariff deals. Yeah. So further US NC strength, yes. And we're still in this little pullback phase. So further dollar weakness, yes, post this kind of pullback phase that we're currently in. And further dollar strength, further gold strength, except we've gapped lower, we've rallied lower, we're bouncing out of that a little bit. So we're still in that little pullback phase. So yeah, all of this is pretty much relevant. Gold, just pure sideways, bond markets, pure sideways. So we're waiting for something to, probably the next round of narratives are going to be quite interesting to see how these markets play out. So look, this is a broad-based breakdown of what we could potentially trade. And of course, that's the whole idea behind the trade plan. So indices to the upside, a bit of dollar weakness and a bit of gold strength eventually. We just probably have to be a little bit patient with that. So look, I've just posted that there into the chat box, guys. Thanks very much for joining us. And this is the narrative that's driving these markets. So a bit of positivity around Donald Trump in there. You know, we've got some positive GDP numbers coming through. We're probably going to get some rhetoric around a little bit more of a dovish Fed. It depends on the data, of course. And we've still got this AI rally, which is just looking really strong in the background. So risk on. So indices higher. This is what we're waiting for, the turnaround in the dollar. We don't have it just yet. Bond yields are really doing nothing. And commodities are kind of difficult to work with a weaker gold market. So we're a bit tentative. We're a bit risk on and risk off with the dollar strengthening. Okay, so yeah, limited clarity, you could say. And but look, that should be really good useful information, because it just means we don't have to, you know, be getting into trade after trade, that we can actually be patient, wait for slightly better opportunities to come, and then trade them accordingly. So yeah, let's see how we get on this week. On that note, listen, guys, thanks very much for joining us. We'll let you go. Any questions, let us know. And back again this time tomorrow. So we'll see you then. Thanks, everyone, as always. And those of you that are joining us for the European trading session, we'll be broadcasting there in about a minute's time. Thanks, everyone. Take care yourself. Speak to you soon. Bye for now.